Dear Lord, thank you for another beautiful morning, and please come and be with us. Teach us what you would really want us to learn. Bless Mr. Holtry as he gives us the lesson. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, sir. All right, we are going to do a quick review. Promise claimers, if you'd be willing to help me hand these out. Thank you. Quick review is, on Monday, we learned how much of the armor we're supposed to put on. The whole. On Tuesday, we learned we're supposed to do what with the armor? Put it on. On Wednesday, we learned a little bit about what? What is it about feet? Tell me something special about feet, the fact that you have two of them. Yes, we do that. What are feet? When we looked at our study, yes. They're beautiful. Why are certain feet beautiful? Because they're spreading the gospel. Very good. Now, if a person is at your feet, are you above them or are they above you? Ooh. If a person's at your feet, are you above them? Yes. Are they your servant? Yes. Okay, good. We just went to double check. And prayer. We learned and looked at prayer yesterday. Is God sometimes silent? Is he still listening? Yes. I think it's important. It's some of the main focus we looked at yesterday. All right, we're going to try this. Testing, 1, 2. You can hear me?
Yep.
All right. I think we have a new Deep Bible Study student. Thank you. By the name of Angel. We're glad you're here, Angel. We are going to be looking at a few specifics today, and we're going to be looking at word-by-word studies. This is one of my favorite ways to study the Bible, and because it helps us to apply it to ourselves. Oftentimes when we study the Bible, it's good to know what it says. It's good to know how to use it if we're doing Bible studies and making sure that we're being faithful to the Word of God. But Bible study is a way that God is supposed to speak to us. So God uses this to speak to you and to me. I can't tell you the whole story because it's too long and it's rather embarrassing. But I'll start out with the part that's least embarrassing and most short, okay? There was a pretty young lady who I was interested in. And I remembered finally asking her to, consider spending her life with me, kind of. Wasn't quite that blunt. I'm kind of blunt, but it wasn't quite that blunt. And I didn't realize, but I think she was happy. And so I wrote her a letter. And I wrote a letter and gave her seven yellow roses. Seven because seven is an Adventist number, right? It's perfect. And yellow is a symbol of what? Friendship. That's right. I wanted to start out with friendship with a little hint of love thrown in called roses. She told me, she is now my wife, so it obviously worked, right? She told me, I read that letter over and over and over again. I don't have good handwriting. I am not a romantic person by nature. I'm not a good writer. Why would she read it over and over and over again? Because she knew that I cared for her. Does that make sense? And when she knew that I cared for her, and she kind of didn't mind that, she would read it. There is, and you know the illustration, but there is a God who loves you very much, more than I could ever care for my wife. And he has written to you. And I want to encourage you. I know sometimes we read in Leviticus and we say, I don't know quite where I'm getting a love letter from God in Leviticus. Or I'm not quite sure I grasp everything there in Isaiah or Ezekiel. But take some time when you're reading the Word of God to say, what is God trying to show me? How is he trying to show his love to me? Let's look at our study. In a a study, especially when we're doing word by word. We're looking at what every single word in a passage is saying. So let's say we look at the Lord is my shepherd, or the Lord is my light, depending what psalm you're looking at. So when I look at the, what is the? The is, someone help me out in English. What is it? It's an article. What kind of article? A definite article. So it's not a Lord is my light. It's what? The Lord is my light. So we'll be very clear. And you notice what we did. We looked at what it's not saying. So the Lord. What is Lord? Part of speech would be a noun, right? Person, place, or thing. What is Lord not saying? The money is my light. The music is my light. The friendships at YD camp are my light. Are they good to have? Absolutely. But are they your light? No. What else is not saying? The food is my light, right? It may feel like it when you're eating your banana splits. They were good, right? Always look forward to Thursday evening supper. The Lord is my light. He is the one. And then you say is. What is? What form of speech? It's a verb. What kind of verb?
Passive.
Could I say a being verb? Is that okay? Okay. The Lord is. I can't say the Lord was my light. I don't say the Lord will be my light. I says the Lord what? Is. What does that mean? Right now. So just taking each word one by one, I looked at it and I realized there is no other Lord but one for me. And he, right now, is my light. Not in the future and not yesterday. Right now, God is everything to me. And that's what the verse is saying. So when you see David saying, the Lord is my light, David's not talking about his past. He's not talking about his future. He's talking about his present. He's talking about something he's experiencing right now. So we wanted to learn how to do that. It's actually very easy with every passage we look at. We're going to be looking at a passage written to the Ephesians, which is going to be applying to us. I have something here in italics. It's bullet four. It says, applications don't provide doctrinal truths. So when God speaks to me personally, it says, Chuck, this is what I want you to take from your scripture this morning. I take it and I grow from it, but I don't go out and say, hey, you've got to do this. It's for me. Bible study is not for us to figure out what to do with somebody else. It's for us to see what God is trying to tell us. Has anyone ever had their devotions that you know of that used it to tell somebody else what they should do? Have you ever experienced that? Have any of you ever studied your devotions to tell somebody else what to do? You're not going to want to admit it, are you? Have any of you ever done that? I have. Man, I wish so-and-so was reading this. I'll be sharing with them at breakfast. But that is not the purpose of our personal time with God. It is to read it and say, okay, God, what do you want to tell me? It's a little bit nervous to do that. You know, I used to be afraid that God would do stuff that I didn't want him to do. You ever feel like that? If I give God freedom in my life, he's going to do something that's just going to make me unhappy. I remember, since I was talking about my wife, I'm going to talk about her again, if that's okay. I remember thinking, if I give God the right to be in charge of who I like and who I marry, he's going to give me somebody I don't like. I can just sense it. I can feel it. I used to feel that way. But you know what? It's not the kind of God we serve. He knows who Chuck Holtry needs. I would have never, and this is a kind statement, so please hear me the whole way through. I would have never picked my wife for my wife. But now that she's my wife, I can't imagine anyone else sticking up with what she's had to put up with. But more than that, matching my personality, matching my skills and weaknesses in such a way that we can become a team. It's because God knows what's best. And God cares about us individually. So when you study the Bible, find out what's God trying to say to me. So let's look at a passage together. Let's look at, I think you can do this by memory. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 16. Can you, what's the first word? Above. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Wow. Above all. Now, does that mean more than the helmet? You're not quite sure how to answer me, are you? You are. Okay. Above all. Does that mean that the shield is more important than the helmet? Is the shield more important than the breastplate? Is the shield more important than the sword? What about the shoes or the belt? You're not sure. Good. Okay, I'm glad we're all on the same page. Above all. And I try to think, why is God trying to tell us here that the shield of faith is more important than anything else? Yes, James. Okay, so you're trying to tell me that faith is that first line of defense, right? Everything has to get past faith, okay? I definitely appreciate that. I was doing some study recently, and I found this very interesting. The righteousness, is there any connection between righteousness and faith? I heard someone say righteousness is by faith. Okay. Is there any connection between salvation and faith? For by grace are you saved through faith. Okay. Is there any connection between sharing the gospel and having faith? Absolutely. You need a faith to go out and share the gospel. You have to believe the gospel is powerful. Any connection between truth and faith? Do you have to have faith in something? Do you have to have faith in the truth? Yeah. I'm not making something big on this, but I want to continue on. Do you have to have faith in the Bible? So the sword of the Spirit, you need to have faith in this. Okay. Do you need to have faith in the power of faith? Yeah, now you're not quite sure. You're answering me right, but you're looking at me saying, what does that mean? Faith in the power of faith. Do you have faith that faith is powerful? Okay. Do you pray by faith? Are you sure? What is faith? I think we had a definition last night. I'm so glad that our campfire talks and our deep Bible study, we're connecting. Yes, sir.
Faith is something that you believe that you cannot see.
Faith is something you believe that you cannot see. Okay? Yes, ma'am. Faith is total dependence on someone or something. Okay, thank you. Yes. This gentleman here is quoting Hebrews chapter 12, 11. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Is that what you're going to say? I saw another hand over here. Okay. We're going to explore faith a little bit more after we do our group activity. So what I'd like us to do is take this sheet of paper, turn around to the back, and I'd like you just to look at those questions. The first question says, who was the passage written to? And do you think they could empathize with your circumstances? That's Acts 19, 1 through 20. And then it says, focus on one word at a time. We did the first one. Can I do above with you? Above all. Above all is a qualifying statement that shows that the position of faith in relation to the other pieces of armor. It's not saying equal to, less than, or above most. Above all is saying above all. How many of you read this passage? Whatsoever is not of? No. Whatsoever is not of faith is what? Sin. How about you open up your Bibles and look at that? Romans chapter 14 and verse 23. Romans chapter 14 and verse 23, and I need another person who is willing to look up Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9, and let me make sure I get the right verse here. Mark 9 and verse 23. So we have Romans 14, 23, and then Mark 9, 23. Let's see. What does Romans 14, 23 say? Does someone have it? Read it in a loud, clear voice. Yes, sir. Go ahead. So whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Of course, there was a context that's being placed in. But faith is very, very important. Faith is how you and I live and work by. Okay, what is Mark chapter 9, verse 23 saying? Yes, ma'am, you can read a clear voice. How much is possible to those who believe? All things. So faith is very, very important. We can see that above all. I'm not trying to say that any part of the armor is unimportant, because we need how much of the armor? Oh, it's gone. And we need to have it put on. And whose armor is it? God's armor. So if you will take your paper, split up into groups, answer that first question, and then go through looking at taking the shield of faith. Looking one at each time, see what the word is saying and what it's not saying. All right, we'll take about 10 minutes. God bless you. All right, as you're coming back, I would like to thank you all for your patience. And there was a confusing question at the top of the backside. Some of you are saying, Chuck, why did you, Mr. Chuck, whatever you would call me, why would you put Acts chapter 19, 1 through 20 in a connection with a story about Ephesians? That doesn't make sense. Well, did you realize, how many of you read Acts 19, 1 through 20? Okay, is the story of Paul going to what church? Ephesus. And so the book of Ephesians is written to those who were at the church of Ephesus. So when you read Ephesians and you read about the battle, the armor, he was writing to people who were in Ephesus. Now, based upon your reading in Ephesus, did they know anything about spiritual warfare? How do you know? Do you remember that story about that demon-possessed man who beat up those sons of Skeevy? How would you like to be called a son of Skeevy? And kicked them out? Yeah. Did they know that they were fighting out not against flesh and blood? I think they understood it. The whole church had seen it. They marveled at the things that were going on. Did you know that Paul spent more time in Ephesus than almost any other city? 3 years he had a school there. So that's why you read Acts. We'll give you a little bit more foundation for that. All right. Today, I'm going to put on some spiritual armor. Is that okay? I've had other people do it today. I'm going to do it minus the shoes. I'm going to use my own shoes. All right. I may need some help. I need someone who I can trust implicitly. Wait. Shh. I need someone who I can trust implicitly, because I'm going to put my life in your hands. Is that okay? You, sir. Yes. Now, I don't know if putting this on with a mic, how it's going to work. Let me know if there's any problem, okay? I know I don't look like Mr. Jesse Norris in this, but we can. Here we go. No, it's not an issue that way. But okay, so I have, what am I wearing?
Armor.
I can't see without my glasses on. Very well. Thank you, sir. You're my armor bearer?
Okay.
Okay. Here, can you hold this for me? Let's see if this works. Now, even though I can't see without my glasses on, I'm going to make sure that I can't see, okay? Who is my guy? Do you know his name? Jonathan? Josh. Joshua. Make sure I call him correctly. Can I have my... Thank you. Okay. All right, sir. Could you take me outside the pavilion by telling me what to do?
Step, one step forward. Step, another step forward. Turn left about 15 degrees. And there's a stage step here. So step one, step forward. And then
go! Oh.
Now turn right 90 degrees. And now turn left just about a little bit, like, yeah. And now step forward. You're stepping forward. And now you stop. Now you turn right about 45 degrees. You take one step forward. Turn right about 90 degrees. And now turn left 90 degrees. And now take a step with your right foot. And now take a step with your okay. And now stop. And turn left about 45 degrees. So right again, please. Forward, forward, forward. Okay, you're outside the pavilion.
Okay, I'm only going to listen to Joshua. Can you hear me okay? Okay. What do I need to do? Where am I going?
I don't know.
I'll follow your directions. You're my...
I'm supposed to take you places?
That's right. I'm having faith in you. Hello?
Hi.
How can I get back?
How can you get back? Okay, take a step forward.
Could I just hold on to you and follow your shirt? Thank you. Can we tell Joshua we appreciate it? Did Joshua tell me to stop?
Yes.
Should I have listened?
Yes.
But I didn't see any problem. There was nothing that I could see that looked dangerous. I was guarded with all the right armor. What was the problem? I was blind. So I couldn't see it even though it was there. Right? You know, sometimes I'm convinced that while we're walking and we're sure we can see where we're going, God is like Joshua saying, no, 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 no. And then I, or you, or some of us would just keep on walking. And we find ourselves falling off of things, being uncomfortable, being quite dirty. Why? Is it our fault? Yeah. Is God speaking to us? See, faith is not simply believing. Faith is also listening. Faith is saying, when I hear God speak to me, I'm willing to do what he asks me to do, even if it doesn't quite make sense. I felt comfortable. I felt like everything was okay. I had everything that was necessary, but one thing, and I wasn't listening. You know, I'm speaking to a group of young people that are, in my opinion, some of the best young people in Seventh-day Adventism. I like you all. I like being at YD camp. My only regret in my life is I was not a camper at YD camp. But even though some of you have all the right armor on in many ways, it appears that way, you also need to be able to listen. Because safety doesn't come simply wearing a sword. Safety doesn't come simply in having a helmet on. Safety comes in having faith and listening to the directions of the one who's giving you orders. I assure you today that God is speaking to all of your hearts. There's not a question in my mind. Why? Because he's speaking to my heart. And he's saying, my dear son, my dear daughter, I've got you. I have something special for you. Would you please listen? Stop. Or, good job, go ahead. Have you ever heard God tell you to go ahead? And God said, I want you to go this direction. And it may not feel comfortable. Have you ever heard God say stop to you? Yes. And you said, oh, come on. No, I don't want to stop right now. You know, there's a lot of cliffs that you and I face. But there's also a lot of opportunities you and I face. It's going when God says go, and it's stopping when God says stop, that we're able to see the great things take place in our life. So I want to encourage you, my friends. Be willing to listen to the voice of God. Be willing to listen to him as he says, go, go. When he says, stop, stop. There's something really special about it. Because God can see what you can't see. You know, I have a little girl who's 5 years old, and I've got a son who is 20 months. My son has no fear. And so our only hope that he will not be in the hospital in the near future is that he learns to obey. And when we say stop, he stops. To describe this, I mean, he just simply walks off pools and jumps right into the deep end, doesn't even think. Which I'm always happy that I'm there. But we try to say stop, and sometimes I have to run and grab his hand. I don't think he likes it. He starts going, ah! You'd have to, you know what a 20-month-old sounds like when they don't want. Do you know, sometimes God reaches out and grabs our hand, and we're acting like 20-month-olds, and God's just saying, come on, just trust me. This is not a safe place for you right now. So, my encouragement to you and to me is that today we will choose to listen to the voice of God. How many want to do that? And if God is speaking a specific yes or no, a stop or go into your heart, I want us to pray that we will be able to listen to that. Let's stand. We're going to pray for that specifically this morning as we close out Deep Bible Study. Let's pray. Father in heaven, as I'm spending time here with my friends, as we have spent time looking at your word, I believe that to each one of us, you have spoken. Some of us you're saying stop. Some of us you're telling us to go. Some of us you're saying yes. Others you're saying no. But you're speaking to us. And Father, I pray that you'll give us the courage to make a decision to listen to your voice. Bless us now in the remainder of our day. Guide us in our special activities, our recreation class. We thank you, Father, for loving us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.